going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. Corey Majors Ross is with us today in place of Alec. And Corey has a big old smile on his face.
I'm just, dude, I get to watch you do this every day when we're working together. And I just think that's really cool because you're really good at this.
Intro
and
the show?
Yeah, I think it's awesome that I just get to be here for it. And everybody else out there is probably thinking the same thing. I wish I could be there for it. I mean, how many times we have Tolos pop into the station and hang out with us and stuff? And I'm the lucky and fortunate one. In the mornings, we get to hang out with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show. And then
who's that first person you said?
Sean shows up. He'll be back.
Ross, are you familiar with this Sean character?
Doesn't ring a bell.
All right. And then you know, I get to watch this. And then the afternoons, we got all the G-Bag fellas and Brian Broaddus. Dude, it's a wonderful thing. I'm lucky to be able to hang around with this station. I like it.
In the last 2 months, RJ has gotten married and gone on his honeymoon to Italy and has missed half the amount of time that Sean has.
Hey, man.
That's crazy.
Take the vacations. They give you the vacations. Take the vacations. It's always been my approach on this.
All right. Let's talk about the Stars. We could go a couple of different directions with this. If you want to go back to Saturday, you know what? I could play any number. I could play cut 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Let's just pick cut 17, for example, of the Stars getting their heads smashed in on Saturday.
4-0 tonight in game 4, Colorado. Yep. And Mackenzie Blackwood gets his first career Stanley Cup playoff shutout. 23 saves on 23 star shots.
All right, so we can reflect on that and talk about that if you want, or we can look ahead to game 5, or most likely probably a combination of both. What I want to talk about is looking ahead to game 5. Where the hell have the Stars been?
Good
now,
question.
I think you have a totally different one than a throw in there, and that's how problematic this series has been. First of all, Jason Robertson is not playing in this series. Like, when you heard, hey.
I haven't seen him so far.
Yeah,
you're right.
He is not going to play in this series.
I agree with you. Yes.
When you're like, hey, he got back out there and skated, that's a positive step. It is. It is a positive step.
Yes, it is very positive.
For his recovery. But it also means he's not going to play in this series. Miro, I still think you're going to have to wait a few hours to know for sure, even though it feels like maybe he's not going to play. Wyatt Johnston.
Isn't it wild, though, that you're still here? You are with 2 wins in this series against Colorado, who's a fantastic team, and you haven't had those two players on your team?
It's 2-2. You have home ice advantage against the team that was the betting favorite or second favorite to win the Stanley Cup going into tonight, and you've led in the series for, 75 seconds? And it's 2-2.
Yeah, and DeBoer said that, too. He was like, if you'd have told me in December that I'd be missing these two guys,
yeah,
and, you know, all this, the situation that we're in and we're playing against Colorado and we're tied 2-2, I'd feel pretty good about it. And knowing that at some point, one of those guys might come back could be a very beneficial thing. But when you're talking about this team and what's been missing in a 4-0 game, Kevin, everything was missing. I felt very good after the win on Thursday. I was like, man, I'm feeling really cocky right now.
You know what's really ironic about that? Except for maybe their hits.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they were physical enough in that game. Everything else went wrong.
Yeah.
But I thought they were physical enough. So I want to focus in on three players, and I think you're going to add another one to this. Wyatt Johnston, Miko Rantanen, and Matt Duchene. Gentlemen, the series has started. Join us, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So Wyatt Johnston last year, breakout playoff run, right? He had 10 goals, 16 points as the Stars made their way to the Western Conference Final. This year, you know how many goals he has in the playoffs? None.
I'll say zero.
Exactly. And he has two assists. That's what he has contributed thus far. All right, let's go to Matt Duchene. Matt,
hold on real quick, because you have consistently, every year we're asking where Jamie Benn went.
Yes.
And he is one of your leaders and goals right now.
I can definitively answer that this year. Him and Tyler Seguin. Look, I gave them a lot of grief over the last several regular seasons. I know where they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not, and what I mean is you can tell their impact on the ice, not just they exist and skate on the ice. Which brings us to Matt Duchene. He led all Stars players in points this season. Mm-hmm. 82. 82 points in 82 games. Corey, that's an average of 1 point a game.
Yes.
You told me that. But he's got nothing in the playoffs so far. Nothing. No goals, no assists, nothing.
How much of that on the assist point? Because he doubled, almost doubled his goals this year with, he had 52 assists, 30 goals.
Yeah.
That's 82, Kevin. I don't know if you know that adds up.
I did.
How much of that is on him and how much of it is on the people that haven't finished?
You know what?
When he's laid those in there.
Okay.
But he hasn't, I'll be honest, he hasn't gotten a lot of clean looks for assists either.
Exactly, because I was going to go and drop that in. All right, let's convert two of those goals.
Mm-hmm.
That still puts you at 2 points in four games. That's not going to cut it. And then we get to the person who, like, you went all in on this fella at the trade deadline. Miko Rantanen. So in 80 games with Colorado in the playoffs, and that's what's relevant here, he had 100 points. All right, so you're like, oh, 1.25 points per game. Heck yeah, here we go. Nothing in this series. Nothing. Now,
when when the puck hits his stick, those players for Colorado do look like it means a little more to them, but I want him to overcome it.
And I will give him credit for game three. Obviously, he was a huge component of how they were able to win game three. Where was he in game four? Where was he in game one? There have been times already in this series that he's disappeared. There are other people who are like, hey, life's a lot harder without Nathan MacKinnon riding with you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so all three of those guys, welcome, will you?
Yeah, the penalty minutes. I'll admit, Marchment's really starting to wear me out taking these penalties.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, I think Rantanen's right there. He's got four now. Roope has six. That's mine, Kevin. That's the dude that I need more from right now. He's got one goal, 1 point.
Yeah.
Minus three, plus minus. You can take that however you want with plus minus. Sometimes I don't.
It can be misleading.
Admire it that much.
Fair.
But I just haven't seen him be a difference maker with his speed and a difference maker with his ability to make those shots. So yeah, there are names across this Stars team that if you're getting what you're getting from Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, you're like, oh man, we're cooking.
Yeah.
Because Miko and all these other names, but they're not. And Kevin, you can say it's Jason Robertson not being there and that kind of junks
Miro
up exactly the way they would want it. You can say that it's that there's maybe Miko just hasn't gotten used to his team yet, and he's still trying to figure out how that all. There are lots of different things that could be going on when they hit the. I mean, again, they're 2-2. When they hit the ice, they got to be ready to go, man. And they don't. They don't look like they are right now.
Now you
the stars for Colorado. You hear their names, and you feel like you're seeing them show up.
Although, if we can dump on one of the Stars of Colorado real quick, kiss my ass, Makar. You know that you faked or embellished, as they like to say. All right.
He was laying all over the ice.
You're right about Marchment and the timing of the penalties. That game three double minor, hey, good for the Stars. That was their high point in the series where they're like, the hell with it, kill it off, win the game, take the series advantage. But still, like, part of that penalty was probably fair against Makar, but Makar, he sold it like, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like that lady who got quote unquote hit by Stone Cold's ATV at the at WrestleMania. He was selling the hell out of that thing.
Yeah, and that is part of the game, I guess. It does seem like hockey though doesn't like to do that because they're like, we're not soccer. You know, we're hockey, we're a gladiator sport, guys. Sometimes you get hit. But that was a bit of a sell for sure.
Yeah.
But that dude can fly too, and he's right there in the mix creating for this team.
And to your original point, Marchment has taken some costly penalties. And what you've seen,
and Logan O'Connor has been like, I gotcha. I'll take care of that then.
And so, okay, I definitely still think the Stars can win the series.
I do too,
I think anybody
for sure.
But is there
by playing better.
Exactly.
Honestly.
But there's no part of you so far that can definitively say the Stars are the better team,
no.
right? There's no way.
Well, and I mean, from the end of the season forward, I know Colorado wasn't on the Blues fire, but you didn't feel like they were that great either. Like you felt like this team was kind of sliding off at the end of the season. And what are they going to be? No, Kevin, watching them right now, there have been more moments where Colorado has shown that they are the dominant one in the games. But the Stars somehow are able to, in those gritty ones, the 4-0 games you can't have again.
No.
I thought Otter was really good at times, and then the goals go in and are, hang, dude.
One of those two was soft, I thought.
The word larceny kept coming up in my, and I was like, yes, I'm about it. He's stealing some things. But the 4-0 game is not going to be one of those that you feel good about. The gritty ones are the ones I like the most, but I would love for the Stars to have one of these turnarounds and going, no, we got 4-0 now.
It probably won't surprise you to know that the Colorado coach, Jared Bednar, he's like, oh, stay the course, good buddies.
Yeah,
we're doing just
after
fine.
After a win, that's how you act. And after a loss, you still don't panic. You just say, all right, we got some things we need to adjust to, fellas.
He said, if we play like that, like they did on Saturday night, we can win against anybody. So we're just going to try to repeat what we did the other night in a lot of different areas and try to get a win on the road. But you're right. All of these negative things have happened, and it's still now a best of three.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one thing that I find like bizarrely encouraging. This series has been uber frustrating, just like the last part of the Stars regular season, but it's still best of three. If you can
which hockey has to love.
Oh my God.
Hockey's sure. got to love the fact that here we go now.
And there is a steep tradition of game sevens between these two franchises.
Yeah, and if you can get that in round one of the playoffs.
Exactly.
People are like, why am I not watching round one, you know?
And some people think whoever wins this series is going to be the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, or we'll have the inside track, I guess, to win the Stanley Cup. Are you agitated?
Similar last year.
Yeah. And, I mean, and look, you look at the rest of the West, and I will say this. Hellebuck has been pulled in two straight games. The Jets are struggling. The Golden Knights needed to score in overtime to hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
These
hockey series have been fun, man.
Yeah, and so you're looking at the West and you're like, yeah, I don't know who you're going to play next. Like we said the favorites would be you'd play Winnipeg, you'd play Vegas. Now you're looking at it, you're like, I don't know at all if that's how that would shake out.
The 906, the Stars have the talent, but they played lazy. They deserved to lose on it. It's Kevin. I just in the both of the Stars wins, they looked like they were active. In both of the Stars losses, they looked like they didn't have the legs to keep up with whatever the Avs were doing. I'm not saying it's lazy, but there are times when you're talking about finishing your hits, making sure your passes are getting where they're going. Those are clean. There are things that they can be crisper at. And that's what I've felt is they don't look crisp when they've lost so far.
I agree.
And I don't think, in my mind, it hasn't been Colorado making them look that way. It's been themselves. So if they can figure that part out of it, then I'm feeling pretty good about this.
Now, just real quick, I wanted to throw this out to an NBA happening of the weekend. And I know lots of people have lots of opinions about whether or not the Aaron Gordon dunk should have counted. At the end of the day, they were like, hey, it's going to count. Congratulations, you win. Nuggets 101.99. I want to play that audio for you, and then I want to play the better audio after that. All right, so let's take it away. Cut number four. This is the Denver game winner, unless you disagreed with it.
And this is for the win. Oh, it's close. They're going to call it.
Did he beat the buzzer? Did Gordon beat the buzzer?
They're going to take a look at it, but the official Sean Wright signaled it was good.
Now, ESPN Research and Basketball Reference said that Aaron Gordon's dunk is the first ever game-winning buzzer-beating dunk in NBA postseason history.
Really?
Yes. Now, before...
That's wild.
It is pretty crazy. And remember, I know people are going to be like, oh, what about this? What about that? Like, it literally has to be at the buzzer, which you can imagine. That is probably a rare play as opposed to 0.2, 0.1,
yeah,
whatever.
The ball's going
to
be out of your hands.
So the ball did go out of Jokic's hands first. If you watch this possession, he's trying to get open. It's not happening. He takes this weird, like, twisting cross-the-body three-pointer that was nowhere. It felt very much like the end of the NC State-Houston NCAA championship game where you're like, oh, yeah, no, that was a totally pass. So this is Nikola Jokic, cut number five, talking about what he thought when he fired up the potential game winner.
Nikola, what was going through your mind when you let that shot go at the end?
This is going to be bad.
That's it.
So true,
this
too.
This is going to be bad.
I mean, yes, watching the way he did throw that up, it did look like...
Like,
know,
it was a ridiculous
when you
shot.
Were a kid on the playground, and you were just like, I'm getting scared. I got to throw it up in the air. And then it goes in that way. Nice.
And we all envision it going in, but for the most part, that's the one that goes off of the backboard with a velocity that is way too fast for that ball to
have ever
gone in.
Or maybe hits off the shot clock.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
But instead, you had Aaron Gordon there. Boop. Dropped it in. They watched that replay a million times. I get it. If you're a Clippers fan, you probably feel like you got jobbed. The fact that they called it good on the floor definitely made a difference in that review.
Dude, when they won the championship, didn't Aaron Gordon like go out into the streets and just celebrate with everybody too? Like he partied with people.
Absolutely.
They love him after that dunk.
Hey, but you still have a hell of a series on your hands. 2-2 against the Clippers.
It's not like you're down 3-1.
Like the Lakers. Ha ha. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we've tried to avoid it as long as we could, but the time has arrived. How everything that could go wrong did go wrong for the Rangers yesterday. Next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A fan.
Ramos is 1-for-2. Taps this one to third. And he throws it down the right field line. Ramos is on the move. And he is going to stop. No, now he's going to go to third. Here's the throw. It gets by him. Here comes Ramos. This game is over.
I don't care. Yeah, maybe play it again.
No, don't
the
play
Rangers
it again.
The Rangers need to sit with that. They need to know what happened. By the way, I'm going to play another version of that cut in just a little bit. Everything that could have gone wrong for the Rangers yesterday feels like it did go wrong.
So you're specifically talking about that play
See,
only, right?
You think, but don't forget, Jack Leiter made his return from the injured list, and he said, let's throw all of the walks in the first inning.
He did,
now,
definitely.
I know it was only three in the first inning, but it felt like it was all of the walks. And he did get through it mostly unscathed. He had only given up one run when he left in the fourth, and you would have thought it would have been way worse. But he didn't get through four and only threw 75 pitches and had, I think, four walks is what he ended up with for the day. He threw 37 pitches in the first inning, so that's also not good. Then let's go to Josh Jung, who injured his right index finger. Now, I think it's just a laceration, but still.
Oh, man. Kevin, the weather's getting to you today, huh?
Yeah, bless and we're you. Inside in a climate-controlled
Sometimes
room, so
air filters haven't been changed in a while, you know.
But yeah, so Josh Jung hurt his finger as well, and I know you might be like, "It's fine,
it's a finger."
Yeah. Oh well, yes. But Jack Leiter, when he hurt his finger, I know it's different because he's pitching. He had to go on the injured list. If there's anybody in addition to Corey Seager that you're worried about when they get hurt having to go on the injured list. Is it not Josh Jung?
Yes. And I don't want to say made of glass because that's like a very negative connotation, but he's made of glass. And it seems to be, you know, that one vase that you have sitting up on the ledge that you're like, it's going to get knocked off every time.
I say Voss, so, but yes.
All right. You have one of those, but everybody knows it's going to get knocked off. And it probably does. And you've glued it back together the other three or four times now. That's Josh Jung. But you know your kids are going to kick a ball up on the mantle and it's going to knock it off soon. It yes. just happens.
Now, from the 2-1-4, sorry, bros, I can't listen to this segment. The way that game ended yesterday had weekend-ruining potential. Now, that's fair.
That is definitely a vomit-in-your-mouth type of play.
And just to hammer that home, I really need you to understand what happened. So let's get another call.
No, what are you doing?
The exact same play. Give me cut number one and Eric Nadell walking us through this debacle.
Swings, hits a dribbler, third base side, tough chance. Jackson barehands, throws wild, and throws it down the right field line. Ramos on his way to second base, and he will turn for third. Here's the long throw to third. He's safe at third. The ball gets away. He's headed for the plate, and he scores without a throw. And the Giants have won it on a walk-off Little League home run.
So Jake Berger afterwards said he's run it through his mind multiple times and he still thinks he would have done it the same way. And I'm with him. I would have made a better
throw.
Yeah. And Luke Jackson's kicking himself because, you know, PFPs, we do this all the time. We make these things so that we can make those plays.
And it was a tough play.
The throw from Berger, if you're trying to figure out, you know, how that is, the reason he would make that throw is he's trying to get the runner out. At third base, because that runner could easily score from third base. And you saw how easy he could score whenever the throw is not made. So he was trying to get that lead runner out way over there. So I get it. The execution was absolutely dun 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 dun. It was just a carousel, man. It was bad.
Yeah, and it was a frustrating. I just saw somebody said, no, I legit dropped an F-bomb when I was watching this on TV. That is totally fair. I can take you back. I know that's how the game ended, but I could take you back to the sixth inning, and somebody just mentioned that. Jock Peterson hit a triple.
Yeah, he did.
To right, I believe, to lead off the inning.
Didn't he have a double in the game, too?
Lead off.
Okay, so you have somebody on third base with no outs. I don't care what the scenario is. You're never, ever, ever going to be able to convince me that you didn't S the bed if you have a runner on third with no outs and don't score at least that run. Never. And yet that's exactly what happened. This after, it kind of looked like it was going to be an offensive bonanza because you had Marcus Semien, who we might need to revisit how he's been doing since he dropped in the lineup. He had the single to left, scored a couple of runs, got it going. And then Leiter was able to, like I said, get out of the first inning with relatively little damage based on what I thought would happen. But then the chances aren't very plentiful after that. And when you get a golden opportunity in the sixth, you do nothing with it. And then I'm not going to play the audio again, probably.
Thank you. Good gosh.
Unless you have like a third magical call from somewhere else that we could hear.
No.
Like the Spanish call or something. And then you lose it like you did. And it was just the worst.
The 806. Jared probably thinks that y'all are being too negative and everything is fine. Jared's mindset is typically 162 games. It's a long time. There's still stuff to work out. That's in the years that I've worked with Jared, Kevin, we did not agree on a lot of things very early on.
Sure.
And
I remember
now that I get him more and he gets me more, we understand each other a little bit. I think the big factor is minus 15. And that's your run differential right now. And Seattle, who's a game ahead of you, is plus 15. They're good. Somehow you've been able to manage and win games and still not be able to score a ton of runs. I don't want that anymore. And Bochy doesn't want that at all. I guarantee you that's not something he wants. And Kevin, you just said the opportunities aren't plentiful already.
Correct.
That's a big problem, because stringing together four hits in an inning is such a big key. And not often does it happen like all the time for you to be able to produce 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 runs in an inning. And so the opportunities are so few, and they got to figure out a way to create, manufacture runs and do it more consistently and be up at the plate whenever these opportunities are happening.
I realize we would love it if the Rangers were scoring 10 runs a game. That'd be great. But realistically, not just for the Rangers, but for a team in baseball, how many runs is the number that you're like, whew, offense was out today? Was it 7, 8? Like, what's that number?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 7's probably pretty good. 6 is a big number.
Okay.
6 is a big number for runs, for sure.
All right, so let's take a look at that. We're getting close to the end of the month of April. How many times do you think the Rangers have scored at least 6 runs this month?
In April?
In the whole month of April.
One?
Believe it or not, it's actually 4.
Okay. I know they scored 8 against the A's.
And that is the one game we're going to circle back to, because how many times have they scored more than 6 runs a game? I believe it is just that this month.
Okay.
I believe it is just that game. And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to lead to some unfortunate statistics.
Didn't they lose to the Cubs 10-6?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay.
And so they
even did, a game they had 6 runs, yes, they lost.
That is true. They did get to 6 runs in that game. And so going into the game yesterday, the Rangers were last in runs per game, 29th in walk rate and on-base percentage, 25th in batting average and OPS. And like I said, they were last in runs per game. Chris Young says everybody shares some responsibility for this.
1,000%.
Yeah. And if you want to look, if you want to get more specific, line drive percentage and OPS with runners on base. All right. So you get somebody on base. What are you doing with it? The Rangers are last.
Okay.
What's their OPS in the crunch? Innings 7 through 9. They're 28th.
Okay.
What's their OPS when they're ahead in the count? So this is an advantageous situation. 26th. What's their batting average with runners in scoring position? 24th. So you are in the bottom fourth of like every most advanced and basic statistical categories. And the things that really stick out to me were line drive percentage and OPS with runners on base, and then OPS in the last 3 innings and OPS, or excuse me, batting average with runners in scoring position. Bad, bad, bad. And Jared's right. You talked about our philosophical sometimes disagreements. It's just one game. They all count like the same. And I know this is not how baseball works whatsoever. But I look at it and I say, you lost these last 2 games both times in the 9th inning.
Mm-hmm.
One kind of more of...
Is it 3 of 4 that they've lost in walk-off fashion now?
Yes. Like
they lost one against the A's too.
And so, was the A's game a walk-off?
It was
remember.
One run at the end of the game.
Okay, yes, that A's one was a walk-off, and that was a save situation. And for a team that has thrived in close games, yes, your last 3 losses have all been by 1 run apiece. 3 of your last 4 games have ended with 1 run losses. And I look at this and say, hey, if you could have shut it down in the 9th on Saturday and yesterday, would you have been able to pull those games out? Would you be at 17-11? Which not only that would be a better record, mm-hmm, obviously, but the other thing is you could have said, hey, we went toe-to-toe. We went into the Bay with arguably the best team in baseball and swept them.
Yeah.
But 'tis not to be. Instead, you lost the series.
Yeah, I needed 3-3 at the least. On this trip in California, Kevin, and I got...
Was it 2-4?
2-4. That's not, I mean, like I needed that to feel like this team was kind of steady, especially with some of the injuries that took place. I needed some feeling, some semblance of steadiness.
And that last A's game was a killer, man.
Yeah, it definitely was. You felt like you had it, and then it came out that way. I'm almost at a point too, Kevin, where I'm like, man, I might put Leody Taveras higher up in the lineup. And that doesn't make me feel good. Because that's how bad things are with the hitting. Now, somebody texted in and said, when is Bochy going to fire the hitting coach? That's unfortunate. They have a new hitting coach from last year.
Yeah.
Same players. And the other thing too, Kevin, is they can't add anything to this team financially.
That is true.
So if you're like trying to figure out how to add a bat to this thing to pump it up a little bit, you're going to have to part ways with something.
Yeah.
And something that has a significant amount of money to get something in here that you can hit with.
Because I believe you have less than $6 million to play with for the apron that the Rangers owners are comfortable with. Could you spend more?
Sure. Yes.
You could. Of course. But we have been told it's not going to happen. And I want to go back to that hitting coach.
You'd have to have a lot more of these golden chicken sales.
Yes.
To really kill off here.
Don't worry. We're going to get to that. But I go back to Boch on Wednesday. I do think he gave us an interesting kind of discussion about pitching and hitting coaches, where he is like, hey, and you can have the greatest plan in the world, but at some point,
those dudes, the
players
on the field,
have to go out there and do it. But I'm really glad that you brought up probably the most important story of the day.
Yeah, because Tony Beasley and the fielding coaches had nothing. What are they doing about that play?
Yeah.
We couldn't execute that play on the field.
Don't make that throw. The golden chicken is activated today. And if you missed our show last week, shame on you. But if you buy tickets in sections 122 or 123, and remember, you don't want to wait until the last minute, okay? So don't test your clock. You want to go ahead and make the purchase as soon as possible. For the record, I can't take credit for that. That is actually on the Rangers website with this promotion. It says, don't test your clock.
I got you.
All right. So if you buy these tickets and the Rangers win tonight, boom, free ticket to the next home game tomorrow. You're like, oh, that's pretty cool. What happens next? Well, guess what? If they win that home game, boom, free ticket to the next home game on Wednesday, and on and on and on. And they have 7 straight home games this week. So 7 days, 7 home games. If they were to go on a 6-game winning streak and you bought the golden ticket and did not press your clock, you would get tickets to all 7 of those games for the low, low price of 1.
Yeah.
That's neat. Or they can lose tonight.
My kid, he's like, this is the coolest thing ever. Me and my buddies need to do this. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Go ahead, man. It's awesome. Get it going today.
Going back to that conversation real quick about like y'all talking about like how do people do getaway games? Blah, blah, blah. How do you like, if you're an adult, how do you put time off for something like this in? Like, do you just like make a bet like, oh, maybe they'll win 3 games, so I'm just going to give myself 3 days off?
You need to hope that your boss or coworkers are diehard baseball fans.
Yep.
And they're like, hey, if I win, it's kind of like the
I'll
Duke
take
game.
You, boss.
Yeah, I was like, hey, if Duke wins, I'm not going to be here on Monday. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They lost. So yeah, that's hopefully that's how you'll make it happen. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, Gridiron Gravy, perhaps the best story of any player in the NFL draft. Next on The Fan.
The official graphic with the fifth round, 149th pick in the NFL draft, running back Jaden Blue is your newest Dallas Cowboy out of Texas, and he is official at this point.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, dominating all aspects of the NFL draft, all the way back from the pluckers to the shows after the fact, dominating the NFL draft. So
that's what we do, and thank you, Tolos, for helping us do it.
True, true, true. Now, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Ooh,
dip
it, I like rip that. It. I like that.
It's like that little toy that you turn upside down and it goes.
Yes.
That's what it sounded like to me.
I wasn't sure if I did it the last time, so after I talked with Alec about it, he was like, yeah, if you ever do that, just the next time around, just make it so pronounced and so obvious that they're like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, more dip.
Or else we'll crap all over you. That is a very good way to put it. Now,
I don't know about that.
Gabriel Taylor, this is a neat little story here. Gabriel Taylor is the younger brother of former Washington safety Sean Taylor.
Okay.
He has accepted an invitation to the Commanders rookie mini camp. And I look, what's going to happen with that? Who knows? I just think it's a neat little story. And obviously very, very sad on the other side. Would love to see him make a name for himself with Washington.
There has been not one moment where Washington hasn't screwed up Sean Taylor commemorative stuff.
Yeah.
Like there's not, they fair. Have, by the way, somebody says, I gotta find this for sure, but they've screwed it up every step of the way. And I do think that Josh Harris's group is a little bit better and that they're, that might be something that they can really pay tribute in a better way.
Now, speaking of, let's go ahead and stick with Washington. The Commanders and DC reached a deal for a new $4 billion stadium at the site of RFK. We've been talking about this for a while. They did get the deal struck from 1961 to 1996. Washington played at RFK, obviously closer to their glory days. And the new stadium is going to be back in the District of Columbia.
Does look like Miro is out, just to confirm.
Called it.
Yeah, we told you that a little bit earlier, but it is now a confirmed thing.
Yeah.
No Haskin and Oscar back in. Bork out, and then Ottinger is in goal.
And, I mean, you can look. We talked about this earlier. I think you can go ahead and mark it down. Robertson is not playing in this series.
Right.
And now it becomes, hey, look, what would you love? He'll win tonight. Win in game six, and you're like, hey, Miro and Robo will be ready for game one of the second round. There's just nothing in me that has like seen thus far to say you're definitely going to win these next two games.
And I know you're probably like, this is gridiron gravy. Well, there was your ice gravy.
Ooh.
That sounds terrible.
Is that a thing?
Mind, yeah. Ice cream. Never mind.
Now, let's talk about the New England Patriots. I see what they were going for. I understand why they went ahead and took it down. So, Kobe Miner was the defensive back from Memphis. He was taken with the 257th and final pick in the NFL draft. Mr. Irrelevant. So, there's a picture of him, had the links to his social, but the New England Patriots, when they tweeted this out, originally put, a Miner. Now, you could see why perhaps cooler heads prevailed and was like, hey, we should probably take a not so veiled reference of the accusation that Drake is a pedophile off this tweet about the final pick in the NFL draft, man. Right? Gosh. I'm not saying it's not clever. I'm not saying it is not humorous, but you can see how they would be like, hey, let's go ahead and take that down.
Yeah, that was hey. Nice job.
I think it was up for like an hour. They're like,
so it is the weekend. You know, it might be that might have been an intern. You're pretty deep into the whole thing and you're just like, hey, you take it over from here. And then you walk off and then you come back and you're like, what are you doing? And they're like, you just told me to be creative. And you're like, not that.
Do you at least off the record? Are you like, hey, that's creative as hell. I need you
compliment
to know.
Sandwich.
Yeah, I need
you
to know.
You got a compliment sandwich.
Why
what are you doing here?
Why we couldn't post
by
that.
The way, from the 641, ice gravy. So maybe we should go with that. We'll see. I like it.
All right. Let's go. Let's stop. I want you to collaborate and listen as I move to the next story on this brand new edition. All right.
It's Kevin Hagland, ladies and gentlemen.
You're welcome. Did you feel it? You felt it. Something grab hold of you tightly.
Okay.
All right. Shedeur Sanders, at one point, as you probably have heard, he was projected to be a top three pick. He slid down into the fifth round. Theoretically, if he would have been drafted in the top three, his first contract would have been $45 million.
Dang.
This contract is for $4 million. So again, like, he'll be fine.
You think?
But, yeah, I feel confident that he'll be fine. But that's still a gigantic amount of money to lose out on before you even step on the field.
For sure. That's what a lot of people, that's why they, when you watch that slide, that's what's going on in their mind mostly. Like that, it's kind of embarrassing for one.
Sure.
But the add to it, the just you're realizing the financial downfall at the moment. Again, you're going to be fine, but that's, it doesn't feel good.
Now, to go along with that, I learned along the way that Shedeur Sanders was the Dallas Cowboys of this NFL draft.
Okay.
People were interested. Maybe they liked it. Maybe they didn't. Did you see that ratings for day two of the draft were up 40%? It was the second highest rated draft, only behind the COVID draft.
Because of one guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you think?
At least in round two, actually on day two, I do think that. Like, that's the same thing that I think would have happened if, like, Johnny Manziel would have fallen out of the first round and everything like that. People wanted to see what was going to happen with him. You saw the memes and everything like that. The social media buzz was off the charts. I don't think there's any way you're going to be able to surpass the 2020 draft. Because remember, that happened after weeks of we had nothing. We had Tiger King and Last Dance, and that's it. That's all that existed on the entertainment front for new things. So when the draft happened, you're like, I'm going to consume every second of this because it's happening. Is it happening that's in Roger true. Goodell's basement? Sure.
Yep.
But it is still happening.
It was so awkward. It really was so awkward, but we absolutely got in on it.
Yes. And so the ratings for this draft, it kind of think about it, the Caitlin Clark effect. They're off the charts compared to every other draft except for the COVID draft.
Right.
So if you could take out that one draft was really in on.
That's the outlier in all of this.
Absolutely. Now.
But so it was Shedeur then that can be accredited to that a lot of ways.
I think that's part of it. Absolutely, I think. Or maybe people just loved our coverage on The Fan. They're like, I got to watch while simulcasting and listening on The Fan. But I think whether Shedeur was going to go or where he was going to get drafted played a big part in it. And I'll tell you this. There's no way in hell I thought he was going to go to the fifth round. The second round? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I could believe that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
All right. 600,000 fans attended the draft in Green Bay, which is a ton. That is down 175,000 fans from last year in Detroit, which was an all-time record.
Oh, do you think Detroit's going to hold that over?
Yes.
They're going to be like, oh yeah, can't even get your fans to show up for the draft.
But you're right. You didn't even need to count. You saw those gaps in the back and you're like, all right, so yeah. There's space.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, whenever you have a large venue like that, maybe it's too large of a venue. You know, and it looks like that. Sometimes it is what it actually is.
Very true. I don't understand this from Sean Payton. I really don't. I saw Shedeur when he was in junior high. I saw him in high school. I saw him when he was a sophomore in high school, when they're on their way to Florida. He's going to, like, there's going to be this chip on his shoulder, and beware, because this guy is going to play in the league. Take him in the fourth round.
Okay.
Why not? I know, and because I know you have Bo Nix.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Sean Payton take him in the fourth round. Gotcha.
That was my editorializing at the end. If you think this kid is going to be so awesome, why not take a flyer on him with a day three pick?
Sometimes you're just saying something because
you feel like it's popular.
Yeah. Or you're saying something because maybe you have a connection to somebody else that you want to have. I mean, Kevin, where is Sean Payton coaching?
Denver.
Where is Deion Sanders coaching?
Colorado.
So wouldn't you want to appease your fans just a little bit to make them think, hey, that guy that you just watched at Colorado for these years is pretty good.
I want to take you real quick to Ahmed Hassanein. He was the first ever Egyptian-born player drafted into the NFL.
Wow.
First of all, that's super duper cool.
Yes, it is.
Then I take you to cut 14. This is him talking with the Lions.
Coach, I'll die for you, Coach. I just want you to believe in me. I just want you to believe in me, Coach. I'll die on that field for you, Coach. I promise I would.
I hope he doesn't.
Sure.
That would be so bad.
I agree.
And people, you know, they get overheated. I'm go work, dude. Do your work, bro.
He meant more of it as
an expression. I gotcha.
But you especially don't want that to happen because guess what happened after that?
What?
He proposed to his girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Man.
Yeah.
First Egyptian player drafted into the NFL, getting to talk Dan Campbell's language.
Yeah.
And then getting engaged.
Yeah, dude.
That's a busy day.
That is a busy day. And good for him that happened. You hope his marriage fails, though, right? Because he was connecting that day to his marriage proposal.
No.
Or is it just holidays?
Different. If it's a personal day to you, it's fine. It's when you get engaged on the holiday for everyone. I don't understand it. But I hope all of your marriages work.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the most ridiculous annual tradition in all of sports media. Give us your grade for the Cowboys 2025 draft class. Next on The Fan.